Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Please rise as we start with our first hymn, 269.
Father, I, the poor miserable sinner,
According to our confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord.
And you shall not be put to shame.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
Come, O children, listen to me.
I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants.
None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
I will speak of your testimonies before kings, O Lord.
And they shall not be put to shame.
Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies. And grant your church your saving peace through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. We will continue with singing hymn 283. for the festival of the Reformation, or the observance of the Reformation, from the Revelation to St. John, the 14th chapter, verses 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Here endeth our first reading. We continue with the gradual. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
In the city of our God.
Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers.
Consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels.
That you may tell the next generation
that this is God, our God, forever and ever.
Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome, the 3rd chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Whereas boasting then, it is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Here endeth the epistle reading. Please rise as we continue with the Alleluia in verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 8th chapter of St. John, beginning with verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Here endeth the Gospel reading.
Praise be to Thee, O Christ.
Let us confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made,
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. Verses 34 through 36 is the basis of the sermon. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And the theme is you are free because Christ sets you free through the gospel. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
Dear saints in Christ, today we observe Reformation Day, October 31st, 1517. That's the day when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany, to question the practice of selling indulgences, which were treated as a kind of ticket to heaven. Of course, that was only the beginning of the Lutheran Reformation. Luther, as well as his evangelical colleagues, continued to produce important writings, which more clearly articulated the Christian faith as it is taught in Holy Scripture. So over 500 years ago, in 1520, Martin Luther wrote the little devotional book titled The Freedom of a Christian, which clearly articulates the gospel of the free forgiveness of sins and salvation won by Christ and given to all who believe. Luther sent this devotional to Pope Leo X, along with a personal letter, with the hopes of calming the tension between the papal see and Luther, as many were calling for Luther's excommunication. Luther treated the Pope kindly and wrote to him as a pastor would write to a Christian under duress from the devil and false friends. The thesis statement of Luther's The Freedom of a Christian was this: a Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. These two sentences at first sight seem to absolutely contradict each other. Nevertheless, Luther quickly points out the words of St. Paul from his letter to the Corinthians, which says, "For though I am freed from all men, I have made myself a slave of all." And then his letter to the Christians in Rome, "Owe no one anything except to love one another." Then he also brings up the fact that Christ Jesus, the Lord of all, was born of a woman, born under the law. And although he was in the form of God, he came in the form of a servant. So Luther's two statements are undoubtedly biblical and true, but they surely need some explanation. So let's examine Luther's first statement, that a Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. This statement is made absolutely true by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as you heard in the gospel reading, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Jesus Christ sets you free from the bonds of sin. So if Jesus has set you free, nothing can enslave you. Nothing can enslave you, then you are Lord of all. Your sins cannot condemn you. Satan cannot harm you. Death is a defeated foe. And since this freedom comes as a free gift from Jesus to be received through faith and not by your works, there can be no work demanded of the Christian. Jesus says that if you abide in his word, you are truly his disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God's word is your most precious treasure on this earth. Food, drink, clothing, house, car, and so on. These things cannot benefit your soul in any way. As Scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, only the Word of God can grant you salvation, because your faith can only grasp God's Word and promise. And Luther points out in his treatise that it is the gospel, which is that Word of God, which promises salvation. Again, in his letter to the Christians in Rome, he states, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe." You see, it is faith in Christ's promises of forgiveness and salvation that sets you free, not your works. Luther goes on to say that this is the greatest honor you can give God. To have faith in the forgiveness of sins is to believe that God is true, that His promises are trustworthy, that Jesus is the Son of God and the Redeemer of the world. Nevertheless, to disbelieve is to dishonor God. That is to call Him a liar. So Luther calls faith the greatest honor and glory a person can give to God. Lastly, concerning faith, Luther compares faith to a wedding ring. Through faith, you are joined into a holy marriage with Christ. He is the bridegroom. You, the church, are the holy bride. The wedding band symbolizes that all that belongs to the bridegroom is the bride's, and all that belongs to the bride is the bridegroom's. This means that your sins belong to Christ. He took ownership of them as certainly as He has claimed you as His bride. And He washed them away in His blood. They are forgiven. They are forgotten forever. Your debt is paid. This also means that all that belongs to Christ belongs to you. So if Christ is exalted Lord of all, under whose feet God the Father has placed all dominion, then you are also exalted Lords of all. You share with Christ in His victories. As Scripture indeed proclaims in St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Ephesus, where God says, He has raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in Corinthians, thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith, Christ's righteousness covers you. Through faith, you honor God, your Savior. Through faith, your souls are joined to Christ Jesus in a holy union whereby all Christ possesses is given to you. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you are perfectly free, lords of all, and subject to none. Here Luther addresses the question that Pope Leo certainly once explained. If faith alone makes one righteous without works, then why do we do any good works at all? Luther points this out, that you still live in your sinful bodies. You're a new man, that is your reborn self, who is joined to Christ through faith, certainly only desires to do good, to love, and to honor God, and to do good to everyone. But the old Adam, your old self born in sin, desires only to satisfy its own desires, to follow after lusts, and to do the bidding of the devil. St. Paul sums this up in Romans 7. "For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war within, the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin." And so in order to keep oneself from becoming captive to sin and losing one's faith in the gospel, a Christian must constantly drown that old Adam through repentance and discipline himself with good works. This is what Scripture also says. But I discipline my body and I still do it, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Here Luther argues in the second point. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. Christians must do good works. Idle fingers are the devil's playground. Christians should be busy helping others, serving their neighbor, and considering others more significant than themselves. Luther makes clear that this is not in order to be justified by God, because you are already justified through faith in Christ apart from your works. Luther then compares one who after faith seeks to be justified by his own works to a dog, which has a piece of meat in its mouth, but looking at the reflection in the water thinks he sees another dog with meat. So then in an attempt to get that piece of meat as well, it opens its mouth and drops the piece of meat into the water and ends up with nothing. So it is with a Christian who tries to justify himself with his works instead of through faith in Christ Jesus. He loses his righteousness through faith while striving after righteousness through works. Luther uses Jesus' own words to explain this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. It is a good tree that bears good fruit, not a good fruit that bears a good tree. When God put Adam in the garden, he had already made him good. Nevertheless, he commanded Adam to work the garden. His work did not make Adam good. His work was good, because he was already good. It is faith in Christ that makes your works good. Through faith, your inner self becomes alive and desires to do what is right. And through faith, God does not look at your sins, but counts your works as beautiful in his sight. None of this means that your works justify you, rather that your faith produces good fruits. Martin Luther pointed out to the Pope that both Christ and John the Baptist told people to repent as well as believe in the gospel. They first preached the law of God, God's commandments, so that sinners would come to a knowledge of their sin and repent. Then they preached the gospel, the promises of God, which offers the forgiveness of sins and salvation to all who believe. This, Luther says, describes the work of faithful preachers today. All must preach repentance and then salvation by grace. Otherwise, the preaching of good works will be in vain. Now, why should you as a Christian consider yourself a servant of all? Simple. This is Christ's example to you. Luther cites Philippians 2. Have this in mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born of the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. So a Christian through faith in Christ is Lord of all. However, like Christ, serves all. The life you live not to yourself, but you live to Christ, because it is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. As Christ did not see equality with God a thing to be grasped, because he was already in the form of God. So you do not seek to grasp God's majesty, but you follow in your Savior's footsteps and you serve others. This means that you should be subject to the governing authorities, and that you should pray for them. That children should honor and obey their parents. Christians should submit to the authorities in their lives, both physically and the spiritual. Christians should help those who are in need. Speak out for the defenseless. And consider others more significant than themselves. Luther concludes, a Christian lives not to himself, but in Christ and in his neighbor. Otherwise, he is not a Christian. He lives in Christ through faith and in his neighbor through love. By faith, he is caught up beyond himself into God. By love, he descends beneath himself into his neighbor. This is what led Luther to humbly write to Pope Leo X, to call him his father, and to ask him to have intervention on his behalf. Luther humbled himself to every human institution out of love. Nevertheless, in that same year, 1520, when Pope Leo ordered all the writings of Luther to be burned and threatened Luther with excommunication, Luther, in response on December 10, 1520, burned the Pope's books and the writings of those who claimed that the Pope had authority over the whole church. Luther chose rather to abide in the words of Christ, which set him free, than to be a slave to a man who condemned the righteous. The Pope's order to burn books that confessed the gospel had no authority over a Christian whatsoever. And so it is for you today, dear saints in Christ. Lutherans are free because Christ has set you free through the gospel. Nevertheless, you ought to love your neighbor who follows in Christ's footsteps and serve everyone in humility. Still, you must never forget that Christ has set you free. So when persecution comes, and it will, and it has, when your faith is under attack, when the devil comes with his lies, you must remember that you are free lords. You have the truth. Therefore, let's abide in the words of Christ, knowing that through faith you are freed from sin, death, and hell. And let's serve your neighbor in love after the likeness of Christ, while never surrendering God's word to anyone. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Thank you.
us pray to our God who has justified us by his works and grace of Jesus alone, that our faith may be strengthened and nourished by his holy word. Holy Lord, you have given us your word as your promise and washed us in baptism to be your own people and to live under you and your kingdom, now and forever. Build us up in Christ, that we may hold the faith in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, as we give evidence of this faith and holiness of life. Reprove us when we are in error and reform what is lacking in us, that we may grow up into Christ, our head. Lord, in your mercy. God of grace, keep us steadfast in your word and prevent our wayward hearts from following false gospels that lead us away from you. Provide your church with faithful pastors who preach in purity and joy, that we are saved by your grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, give wisdom and strength to all fathers in the home and church. Make them faithful in teaching your word to the children entrusted to their care, that these little ones would come to know you as their Heavenly Father and live as true children of God. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Emmett and Gordon continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant to which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, when the nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, teach us to be still and know that you are God. Guide all who govern us so that evil is thwarted, righteousness rewarded, and all your works are upheld. Lord, in your mercy. God of grace, do not let people fear though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the sea. Rescue all people who are in need, especially Marianne, Jerry, Patty, Kristen, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Bev, Carol, Carlene, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Ligia, Gordon, Deb, Pastor Fish, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, Belinda, and comfort them with the promise that you are with them. Lord, in your mercy. O Father in heaven, give to all who approach your altar this day repentant hearts and firm faith in your Savior's promises. Graciously prevent us from partaking to our judgment, and grant us reverently and joyfully to receive Christ's very body and blood. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, we give you thanks for all your servants who have departed this life in faith. We especially bless you today for the great reformers of your church who call us back to the gospel and to the righteousness we have in Christ alone. Keep us in fellowship with them and bring us at last to our heavenly home and the joy of seeing our Redeemer face to face. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you. By his glorious resurrection,
open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Christ, the Lamb of God. being complete. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat. The true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me in baptismal grace. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Drink the true blood of Christ. Take the remission of all your sins. Take the true blood of Christ. Shed the remission of all your sins. Take the true blood of Christ. Shed the remission of all your sins. Take the true blood of Christ. Shed the remission of all your sins. Drink the true blood of Christ. Shed the remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins.
Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given to death for your sin. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me in baptismal grace. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, keep me in baptismal grace. God the
Let us pray. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us for the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Upon thee and give thee